this is Doug Poling. What appears to be a terrible tragedy at the Kennedy Space Center. The shuttle Challenger with seven crew members exploded shortly after it was launched about 20 minutes ago. Challenger exploded and went down in flames less than 2 minutes into launch. It went out of control and appears to have fallen into the ocean. We have no word on the fate of the crew. CBS News correspondent Christopher Glenn is at the Space Center. Chris, what can you tell us now?
Doug, I was watching the launch. Everything appeared to be going well. We were doing our broadcast and had just signed off, and about 10 seconds later, this was about 45 or 50 seconds into the flight, there appeared to be an orange flame shoot out from one side of the shuttle Challenger. It seemed almost to split in two. The main body of the rocket then went into some gyrations for a few seconds, and then debris started falling down into the sea, and we could see it happen. It was indeed a terrible sight. It was terrible for the mission controllers, too, and this was their first reaction.
We have heard...
looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction. We have no downlink.
So that was the way Mission Control gave the news to the world that Shuttle Challenger had exploded. Apparently all the crew members, none of them did survive.
All right, we hear the chips and helicopters have raced to the area around the control center, and we also hear that paramedics have... leaped into the water, apparently to try to find any of the survivors. The crew members on this ship are Commander Dick Scobie, Pilot Mike Smith, and crew members Judy Resnick, Ellison Ozanuka, Ron McNair, and Greg Jarvis. Also, Kristen McAuliffe, a school teacher who was to become the nation's first civilian in space. At the White House, Presidential News Secretary, Assistant Secretary Larry Speaks has spoken just a few moments ago. And now we take you to what he had to say.
The president is deeply concerned and shocked at what he has just seen replayed on television concerning the shuttle launch. We do not have any more information than is being provided to the public at this time. The way the president found out about it is he was in the Oval Office with a group of senior staff preparing for some questions with a group of network correspondents and anchors that were having lunch in the White House today regarding the budget and the State of the Union. The Vice President and the Foreign Policy Advisor, John Poindexter, came in with others and informed the President that the news had just broken. We immediately adjourned our Oval Office meeting and went into an adjoining room, the President's study, where there's a television, and the President then began to review television reports of the explosion there shortly after the launch. So once again, the president is concerned. He is saddened. He is very anxious to have more information on it. At the moment, as I say, we're learning most of our information from what the public is getting.
As Larry Speaks, the Assistant Presidential News Secretary, to recap and repeat what we know at this hour, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded into a giant fireball just moments after liftoff, about 25 minutes ago from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and apparently the crew members might have been killed. At least that's the assumption at this point. There is no announcement. Oh, no official announcement about the fate of the crew. It appears to be no way they could survive at this time. Christopher Glenn is at the Kennedy Space Center. And, Chris, so what can you tell us now?
Doug, very little else. As you might expect, the NASA people have been very, very reticent with the information while they try to put together the details of this tragedy. They did tell us, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, that helicopters and rescue ships were on the way to the crash site, which appeared to be only a few miles offshore, and that paramedics had parachuted into the water. And also, as you mentioned, there doesn't seem to be much chance that anybody survived this wreck. There are no emergency ejection systems or anything of the kind aboard the space shuttle. They have to fly at least until the main rocket cuts off, until they can do anything. But this just happened in an instant, in a flash, without, NASA says, without any indication that it was coming. The instrument readings were all normal at that point, and it just exploded in the sky and came down. They never had a chance.
It appears, of course, that the $1 billion spacecraft Challenger was destroyed, and this is the first in-the-air disaster in 56 U.S. man-in-space missions, although three astronauts were killed in 1967 in a launch pad explosion during the Apollo program. The crew members aboard Challenger today were Francis Scobie, the commander, pilot Michael J. Smith, Judith Resnick, Ronald McNair, Ellison Ona Zuka, and Gregory Jarvis, and of course, Krista McAuliffe, the 37-year-old schoolteacher from New Hampshire who was selected as America's first citizen in space. To repeat, the space shuttle Challenger has exploded shortly after liftoff from the Kennedy Space Center, and apparently all seven astronauts aboard were killed. We will have continued coverage of the space shuttle disaster over many of the CBS radio network stations. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And this is Howard Viken here at CCO Radio, seated here in our studios with Joyce Lamont, and the whole staff is gathered around our radio speakers and the TV sets following this tragedy.
Now, direct from CBS News, this Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Judy Muller in New York. The space shuttle Challenger exploded after liftoff today, apparently killing all seven crew members, including the first civilian to be launched into space, Krista McAuliffe. There is no announcement of the fate of the crew, but it appears that there could be no way they would survive. The spacecraft appears to be destroyed, the debris being scattered into the Atlantic Ocean. There is no clue right now as to what might have caused the explosion. There was no indication of any problems on the computers in mission control. No one had any indication that anything was wrong. It was the first in-the-air disaster in 56 U.S. man-in-space missions, although three astronauts were killed in a 1967 launch pad explosion. That was during the Apollo program. Again, the space shuttle Challenger exploded into a gigantic fireball moments after liftoff today, with many, many people gathered at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida in the grandstands where they gather to watch launches. Among those people were the school children, some school children, some of the family members. Christopher Glenn is at the Kennedy Space Center now. Chris, have we learned anything new?
Well, Judy, we do have with us now NASA spokesman George Diller, and perhaps we can get some additional information from him. George, can you add anything to the reports that we received from Mission Control?
Not a great deal. One of the problems at this point is before we can send any emergency teams in to see what state the orbiter is in, if it is in fact intact, is that there is debris that falls from that altitude that takes a considerable amount of time to impact the ocean. That is normally 15 minutes after any mishap. There is the possibility that we have gotten some paramedics into that general area, but most aircraft and ships will stay clear until the period of debris has ended, because the debris falling out of the sky obviously endangers the planes and the ships that would be going in to do whatever rescue attempt that can be done. So we don't know what the state of the orbiter is at this time, and as soon as by calculation we know that the debris has cleared, then we can go in and check the impact area, because we do know from a flight dynamic standpoint where the vehicle has impacted.
Can you tell us where that would be? How far offshore?
It appears to be about 20 miles off the Cape. This appeared to have occurred as they were throttling back to go through the sound barrier, through what we call Max Q, where you have the maximum stress on the vehicle. And it appeared that we had an early solid rocket booster separation. We don't have any indication on you know, what the actual state of the solids were, because we had good data on the solids and on the orbiter up until the time of the explosion. So everything is still very sketchy. I guess the big unknown at this point is whether or not the orbiter is intact. And if it is, we'll be having crews go to the point where it has been tracked to impact.
Now, this very painful question, is it possible that anyone could have survived an accident like this?
It depends on whether or not the orbiter is damaged. If the orbiter did not explode and it is not seriously damaged, it will float for a period of time. That's why we try to get crews in as soon as we can, because there is a period, I believe, of about an hour where there's no problem.
Now, to my eye, at any rate, it seemed as if a part of the rocket assembly came off at first, and the main portion of the rocket was still going forward for a few seconds. Do your instrument readings give you any indication of exactly what part of the vehicle was involved in the explosion?
Well, that's what I say. When it appears that we had an early solid rocket booster separation, but we don't know if it is if one of the solids exploded, or what has actually exploded, because all the data at the time that occurred was good from both the solid rocket boosters and from the main engines of the orbiter, so we don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Judy Muller in New York, I understand you have a question for George. Judy?
Yes. President Reagan has been following developments, Chris, at the White House, and we're going to go to Gary Schuster at the White House now for reaction. Gary?
The president's spokesman just came out and told us that the president was preparing to meet with some network correspondents in preparation for his State of the Union address tonight. He was going to answer some questions and talk with them at a luncheon here in the White House. When just before he was about to go into that luncheon, his national security advisor, Admiral Poindexter, came in and told him what had happened. The president and some senior aides then went in a study, which is right next to the Oval Office, we're told, and watched the repetition of the blast-off and the explosion, apparently, that occurred in air. And the president, as speaks, described them, just watched the television, the repeat of it, in almost stunned silence. Mr. Speaks said you could almost see the sorrow and concern on the president's face. He said that basically that they only know here what the news media is reporting. They've had no special reports from Florida, and basically they are getting their information from the news media as it becomes available.